It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last week saw the passing of a Pittsburgh legend, Bill Nunn Jr. He was more than a sports reporter for the Pittsburgh Courier. He was a pioneer journalist who, according to our guest, Pittsburgh Tribune reporter Andrew Conti, was instrumental in breaking down racial barriers across sports and in American life while working for the Steelers for nearly half a century. He joins us now in Studio A. Andrew Conti, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thanks for having me.
What was Bill Nunn best known for in terms of how and who he scouted?
Okay, so he was best known as a Steelers scout and going out and connecting with the historically black colleges. And this was something that had gone back in his family for a generation. His father had started at the Pittsburgh Courier, which was a big national black newspaper, a weekly newspaper, started ranking all of the black college players. And so when Bill came of age, he took that over, and they had this connection that went back a long way that the NFL teams really weren't able to figure out, you know, how to get these good players from the black colleges.
He, as a reporter for the Pittsburgh Courier, would organize banquets. The Courier was a national entity. It still is today, but certainly in its heyday when Bill Nunn was there, he was organizing banquets and tributes. He would have a national all-black college all-star team that would be feted as they came into Pittsburgh by the Courier. He organized all of that. Is that where the connection began?
Well, that was one of my favorite stories with the Steelers connection for Bill Nunn, because you have the Rooneys, the owners of the Steelers, sitting at these banquets every year and saying, you know, our team is just, you know, one of the original teams, but we're just not being able to put it together. We're not able to win. You know, how do we do this?
Yes, the Steelers for decades were a very bad team.
Right, and every year Bill's bringing in all these great college players, but they're from the black colleges, and a lot of them had gone unscouted. And to me, that was one of the great things that he contributed, was that, you know, when you look at the Steelers dynasty of the 1970s, one of the things that put them over the top was Bill Nunn and being able to find so many great players that were being overlooked up to that point.
Who are the big names he brought to the Steelers?
I mean, the real big one is John Stallworth. You know, the 1974 draft where you had four Hall of Famers going in the first five picks that the Steelers had that year.
Stallworth being one of those.
Yeah, Stallworth was one of them, right. But there's so many from that same generation. Basically all the big names from that period.
And so there was John Stallworth. And who were some of the others? Ernie Holmes was one, right?
Yeah, Ernie Holmes, Mel Blunt, Dwight White. They were the names go on and on from those teams.
And it's hard for people to imagine in this day and age where there is, you know, so much social media activity and you know, 24-hour sports stations and every level of football being covered in some way, shape, or form by electronic media. Set the scene for us, the times in which Bill Nunn operated and how he was able to do things that were actually off the radar that, you know, he would serve up to the Steelers and the Steelers only.
Right. I mean, to go back to that 1974 draft, everybody knows about the draft picks, but my favorite part of the story is that when the draft was over, Donnie Schell was still out there and nobody knew who Donnie Schell was, and his coach called up Bill Nunn.
One of the great defensive backs of all time.
He turns into a Pro Bowler and, you know, an almost Hall of Famer. And he's somebody that would have gone unnoticed, you know, a few years earlier without Bill Nunn being involved. So you had that going on. You also had when I wrote Bill's obituary last week, you know, somebody sent me an email and said, you know, why do you keep talking about Bill Nunn being black? Why do we have to – and it's funny, your previous person you had on the air, there was
Tenere
a caller
Solomon,
like that as
yeah.
well, where they were talking about, you know, why do we have to talk about it being black? And in some respects, it's a testament to what – Bill Nunn and people like him were able to accomplish that. Today we can say that, you know, why do you have to mention that? But you have to think about it in the context of what Bill was facing when he was coming up. And, you know, when he went to Westinghouse High School and the coach wouldn't play the best three guys on the basketball team because three of them were black and he could play only two black starters. And so, you know, Bill had to.
Was there a rule about that?
It was an unwritten rule. The principal of the school didn't want to have, you know, a majority of the starting team black.
So if it was three of five, you had a majority of black players.
Exactly.
Interesting. And Chuck and Bill Nunn played with Chuck Cooper.
That's right.
At Westinghouse. He was a great basketball player.
He was. You know, we talk about him being a pioneering journalist, but before that he was a pioneering basketball player. So he went to Westinghouse High School, and then from there he went to West Virginia State. He was recruited by a few integrated colleges, but his father insisted that he go to an all-black school. And so Bill ended up going down to West Virginia State, and in 1947-48 they had the only undefeated record in the entire country of college teams. Of course, they weren't the national champions. They didn't get to play for it. That year, Kentucky won the national championship in the NIT. They were all white. They never had to play against West Virginia State. And one of his teammates there was Earl Lloyd, who ended up being the first black to actually play in the NBA. Chuck Cooper was the first to be drafted. Earl played the day before. So just a scheduling quirk.
Why didn't Bill Nunn become a professional athlete?
It was one of the things that really endeared me to him even more, because I've been spending a lot of time with Bill the last two or three years. I've been working on a book related to his life story. And the thing was, he had an offer to, when he graduated from college, he could play for the Globetrotters.
The Harlem Globetrotters.
The Harlem Globetrotters. They were, you know, at that time there was a barnstorming team. They would go around. But the other thing was, he had an offer to try out for the New York Knicks. At this point, the NBA was all white. There were no black players. And Bill ended up choosing to go into newspapers, that there was more stability, more money, the chance for more fame. It's pretty funny by today's standards, but you think about making a career choice of newspapering over playing in the NBA.
Tells you how it certainly is a statement about the times in which Bill Nunn Jr. lived. And we're talking about the life of Bill Nunn Jr., sports reporter for the Pittsburgh Courier and a legendary longtime scout for the Pittsburgh Steelers who helped build their dynasty. We're talking about all of this with Pittsburgh Tribune Review reporter Andrew Conti, who is writing a book about the life of Bill Nunn Jr. and Bill Nunn Jr. passing away just last week at the age of 89. If it wasn't for Bill Nunn Jr., would the Steelers have won 6 Super Bowls, or at least the first 4?
I don't think so. I don't think it's a stretch at all to say that he really helped them overcome that hurdle early on in the 1970s. When you, even if there were a lot of players like, you know, in terms of Lynn Swann, he was somebody that everybody knew about, and so they would have gotten, or Joe Green, you know, these were players that were coming from big name schools, even though they were black. But what Bill was able to do was go out and complement those players with the ones that were lesser known from the small black colleges, and that I believe really propelled them, put them over the top.
What sort of racism did Bill Nunn Jr. face as a writer in the early days? For example, I heard a story that he apparently couldn't be in the press box at Forbes Field, even though Jackie Robinson was on the field playing.
Yeah, that was the amazing thing. And that was the other thing about Bill, that he would never talk about these things. When I went and I first said, you know, Bill, I want to do a book about your story, and he said, it's not about me. So I've uncovered stuff by going through his old stories and the stories in the Courier. And in this case, it was in the 1950s, at 1950, May 1950, and Jackie Robinson had been in the majors for 3 years at that point, and Bill still couldn't go to the press box at Forbes Field because he was black. And at that point, the Baseball Writers Association, they said, well, you work for a weekly newspaper, and that's how they justified keeping him out and saying not that he was black, but because he worked for a weekly. But then in 1950, finally, so up to that point, he had to buy a ticket, sit in the stands and file his stories from there. 1950, they said, okay, finally, they relented. And if there was a black player on the field, so it was if the Dodgers were in town, the New York Giants, or the Braves, then Bill Nunn could sit in the press box. Otherwise, he still couldn't sit there.
Hard to imagine in this day and age when you think back to those times. Bill Nunn Jr. persevered, became a very prominent writer. The Pittsburgh Courier was a huge entity nationally. And describe the arc of his career that took him from being this influential writer and bringing much attention to players who were deserving of attention that they otherwise would not have gotten because of their race. He ends up becoming a scout for the Steelers. How did that happen?
That's one of the funny things when I'd ask him about his journalism career, and he'd say, you know how long I've been retired? You know, I left newspapers in 1968 or 69. It came out of that. So every year Bill's out, they put together an All-American team of the black college players, the best players. And the Rooneys finally started picking up on it. Hey, maybe this guy's onto something. So they went and they make him a job offer. Dan Rooney, the owner's son, goes and talks to him and says, we want you to come work for the Steelers as a scout. And Bill says, no, thank you. So what do you mean, no, thank you? He says, you've been ignoring my All-American list all these years. Every time I went to sit in the press box, you treated me terrible. I'm not going to do it. And the Steelers, to their credit, stayed on him. And they said, you know, they kept coming back to him. And finally he said, all right, I'll come work for you, but I need a year until I can come work for you. I need to wrap things up at the Courier. So instead of giving a 2 weeks notice, he gave a 52 weeks notice. And that's how he ended up with the Steelers then.
And he was scouting for the Steelers right up until the end, wasn't he?
That was one of my favorite things. Every time I would try to call him to get, you know, get his attention, hook up with him, he would always be at work. He was always down at Steelers headquarters. So even at the very end, I would call him up, and he was super busy. They were getting ready for the draft, and so for the last several months, he was always down at the Steelers offices every day. Somebody from the team, one of the young guys, would come by the house, pick him up in the morning, take him down to the headquarters on the south side, and the draft room there is actually named for him. They named it the Bill Nunn draft room, and so that's where he had a stroke about 2 weeks ago now, and then died after 2 weeks in the hospital.
And what would be his lasting legacy as far as you're concerned?
It would be the impact of fully integrating life. You know, that we talked about before, the idea that people can even raise the question about why are we talking about him being black. There was a day when Bill and I were sitting at the Steelers headquarters and we were looking out at the field, and there was a group of players playing out there, and they were almost all black. And while we were sitting there, Mike Tomlin came to the door. He needed to come through the room. Of course, he's the African-American coach of the Steelers. And it was – Bill used that moment to underscore to me just how much had changed from the moment he came in. When he graduated from college, there were only two black players in the entire NFL, and they had only just started in the NFL. So it's quite an impact that – and quite a thing that he witnessed over the whole his life of his career.
Pittsburgh Tribune Review reporter Andrew Conti talking about the late legendary Bill Nunn Jr. Thank you so much for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We'll see you again tomorrow.